Yeah, that shit was high up. Next lift we have to rent, we have to get a telescoping one if we do the 40-foot plus, because the scissor lifts don't, they're not safe outside at those heights. You have to have like a telescoping lift because it's like more stable, wider base, and it like goes out like a fucking dinosaur. So we've maxed out the scissor lift outdoor activities. Now it's telescopic, like they go up to 79 feet, the starting ones. So we essentially could do like almost like an, we could do an 80-footer. It'd be so scary though to be like 79 feet up on a boom like fucking lift like that. And to rip a bomb. Man, so many people were driving by while we were doing it too, and no one even thought anything of it. Like people were definitely like stopping, took some pictures, people that are driving around the back of the building and stuff, and they, but like it's so different than me outside ripping a little rig and coughing my brains out, as opposed to me in a lab coat with a hard hat on a lift hitting something. Like people just for some reason seem to like, they're like, oh, that's legit. That's, I mean, they have a permit. They've got it. You don't just do things like this. This has got to be something, right? But it's not. It's just us doing things like that. You know? All right, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 168 of the podcast. Just got home from a family vacation to visit my parents, my daughter, see her grandparents. On today's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Going to do a recap on the 30-foot, first 30-foot bong rip, and then I did a second one, too. Actually, that's why I sound like this. You know, I haven't been doing any of the podcasts or anything because I, after hitting the 30-footer, changed me all my life forever. I can't talk right anymore. Just kidding. I think I slept with my mouth open too long last night. Just came home from Florida. It's a lot drier here. And my vocal cords, I think, are finally coming back. But this morning, I sounded like a mixture of Louis Armstrong and RFK. It was awful. And I did try singing in my car on the way in because I thought to myself, well, if my voice box is stuck like this, I must find a new way to build some way to support my family, because the glass career might not work if I sound this way. Tried singing some songs. Wasn't a hit. But luckily, the voice is starting to clear up, so we're going to be all right. Also on today's episode, I got a pivot that, you know, is finished. And then I have my blue Barbie art. I don't have a regular rig on the table right now. Kind of forgot one. And also, too, I don't know if my throat can handle a real fucking dab. Not that the Pupcos aren't a real dab, but they're real consistent dabs. They're not really going to hurt you. But with a big nail dab, sometimes you can really change the trajectory of your day. So, or even week, depending on how hard of a hit it is. But yeah, it's been a really awesome few weeks. I know we haven't been here. The 30-footer, we rented a lift. We did the whole thing. You can find those videos on my page. That shit was intense. It was, there's so many things that I would change. The first attempt, we used pyramid power to power the actual bong. Because when I was hitting it dry before we did the attempt, I was like, damn, dude, I need like something to boost this so that the video is more exciting, because I was noticing, it was taking like four pulls to get the smoke to the top. So I was like, this is gonna be really anticlimactic for the people watching, because they're gonna be watching me pull for about 20 seconds before the fucking smoke gets to my mouth. So we used some pyramid power, which was basically a shot back inside a cardboard pyramid with a foot pedal up to the thing. I did it. It worked pretty good, blasted me with smoke. But then, you know, some people made a good point. It's not really functional if you had to use that. And I'm like, functional to what? I'm like, fine. So I'll do a raw dog. No pyramid power. Did that. That went pretty good. However, after, did not go good. So when I did the hit, I was pretty surprised. I was like, damn, I got the smoke up here pretty quick. Like, I'm getting the hit in. And then, oh man, I had a real tough time after that hit. I had, God, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I had a bit of an emotional breakdown. It was weird. It was real weird. Luckily, my guys didn't see it. I had to stay in the bathroom for a while, for probably 45. Then I went to another room, constantly avoiding my team because I was having a problem. It was crazy. And I was like, whoa, this was a real eye-opener. This is what people feel when they get scared of weed and then take a break. And then I thought to myself, I said, self, I ain't no quitter. So I worked through it, called my dad, called my wife, made everyone freak out because I think everyone thought I was in a tough spot. People like my family, I'm like the hard worker that's not going to complain, and I'll work all day and eat shit with a smile. I deserve nothing and want nothing. I'm here to help, and that's what I tell my family. My only purpose on this planet is to help the people around me, nothing else. So in that moment, calling everyone, I think I freaked out my family. I freaked out my wife. I freaked out my parents. I think they thought that I freaked everyone out so much that they were like, you need to like slow down, take a break and this and that. And like mostly my wife, because she hasn't really heard me react like that. But I learned a lot. I learned that if I'm going to hit a 30-foot bong, I need to eat breakfast first. I need to drink enough water so that I'm feeling hydrated and clear-headed. A good night's sleep. Also, I need to have a joint connected to the bong above the water level, a 50 mil joint with a stopper in it. So once I've filled it with smoke, you pull the stopper and you can clear it like a steamroller. Me trying to clear it through all the smoking apparatuses reduced the airflow, making it super hard to clear that bong. So there's some changes I'll make for the next attempt. And I think we're going to add another 10 feet. Now, I have had some other glass blowers that have made really long bongs. Let me know that it's the world's largest build-a-bong, not the world's largest bong. And I can definitely see that perspective. So if we're going to be very specific, my goal with the world's largest bong was to make a freestanding bong that you have to hit upright. Now, I know larger bongs, traditionally, you lean them at an angle. They'll have a beaker bottom. You don't hit them straight up and down. But I thought for the cinematic effect and the dramatic, it would be so much more dramatic if the bong was three stories just standing there. And then I got on a lift and went up and hit it. But there was a few colleagues that let me know that there was another glass blower out there that made a 32-foot bong, I think, which mine was just shy of. But theirs, they laid in the backyard of someone's house. Respect. It was super cool how they built that thing. They used a bunch of, like, they had, like, God, I can't even think of the fucking glass blower's name. I know it starts with a G. It might be Gibson or Gibbon glass or something. I don't know. I'm bad at reading. I know Instagram faces. Like, I could pick out his profile, but like I probably am reading his name wrong. Like I said, I called Quav for like years and shit. But either way. So, and theirs is really cool. They did. They like hung strings from a ceiling to support the whole bong while they were making it on the lathe, because glass is flexible. So if you have it horizontal, it's going to take the effects of gravity. Gravity will start affecting the flexibility of the glass and could snap something if it's not supported and it's really long like that. So even with his piece, it would be really hard to stand it up, even if the bottom was flat, because just getting it to go from like, you know, like flat on the ground and then tilt it up vertically, this point of tipping, man, that shit might snap. Unless you're using really big, heavy tubing, which also has issues in its own if you start doing that, just because of the weight. But I've thought about it. And if I am going to make a one piece and beat their record, which I'm not doing it in a way to be like, oh, I'm better, I want to beat it. But if someone's going to leave comments on my page, like, good job, but it's not like a real one. Cause you like this. I'm like, okay, well then do you really want, like I even left a comment to someone, but like, I was like, I could do a 100-foot bong if I laid it in my backyard. I was like, but if I want to stand it upright, then, you know, we're starting here. Because the math I did, I was going to weld it all into one piece because I have the space, the equipment, and facility to do it. But I couldn't figure out how to get it up vertical without it snapping without a couple cranes. Or because you would need points, like if you're ever doing a construction show, you need points where you're like pulling and lifting it, where you're like it would be crazy. And also, if I made a solid piece bong that was over 40 foot or whatever, I would have to break it after the video. I'd have to tip it over and smash it because there's nowhere to store it. It's just not safe. There's nowhere to put it. It's just going to take up room. With my three-piece bong, which these are not small pieces of glass, the bottom section's 15 feet tall. The middle section is 10 foot tall, and then the top is over 5 foot. So these are large sections of glass regardless, but I had to do it in sections in order for me to be able to store it and if I ever wanted to take it to events. Now, for example, the top section that has it, come on, guys. Also, too, my fucking thing had a shower head perk 25 feet up. That's so dumb. That's so stupid and funny. Like putting a shower head perk 25 feet up, why? I didn't have to do that. It's a lot easier to do that with a section bong than if I were to make it one piece. There was a bunch of goals I had, and I talked myself into this direction because it made the most sense to achieve all those goals. However, if my goal was to beat a record that someone else and do it within their guidelines of what they think, I feel fully confident and capable I could do such a thing and invest the money in the cranes to lift the bong. Now, convincing my wife of this investment may be another thing, because I invested over $3,000 into the 30-foot, way more than that, actually. I put too much money into that giant bong, but it was for me. I said that's what I really wanted for my birthday. I wanted a 30-foot bong, and my wife respected it and let me do it. However, she's still not stoked I did it, you know, because she looks at the math. She's like, you could have been like working and finishing stuff you were supposed to be doing, but instead you're doing this because, and she's right. But we all make choices and then we figure it out after. That was my choice. Either way, it went well, I think, overall. Yes, I can do even better next time. And there's different ways I'd film it. I'm always trying to do better with that. But that was pretty cool. What's pretty crazy, though, is all the people that shared that video got more views on it than my actual page, which is really wild. I don't really care, but I'm trying to figure out how that all works on Instagram. Like, how it's like crazy, like, which I'm sure people that have large accounts experience the same thing. Not saying mine is a big account, but people that have real Instagram accounts, people repost their videos all the time, might get more views on it. And to me, it's like, I even left a comment. I was like, this is like, you know, this is all good publicity. Like, even if I didn't get the fucking same amount of views on my shit, I'm just stoked people are seeing this stupid thing I did. And definitely, man, I did it too to promote our big clear drop, to try and get people seeing the work. Like, that's like kind of like how I like, I've told other like colleagues and artists that like, this is like what I do, is like, I treat like, I'm a big fan of stand-up comedy and music, and the way they do things is they have tour dates. They're like, we're going to be in Chicago this date, we're going to be in California, whatever. You know, they'll have tour dates, and then they'll do promotional stuff between the dates so they can promote that next show or concert so that people buy tickets and then go at that specific time. I do the same thing. I do promotional stuff in between Sunday sales. I have a scheduled day that the show is happening. It's on a Sunday at 11 a.m. And then in between that, I'm going to be promoting and doing fun videos to try and get people like noticing and seeing the work or getting excited. That's just like what I do. So that bong was like part of that whole, you know, idea. But also, I just wanted to do it, like to see it standing there, to see a piece of glass that's three stories tall, that's all glass, like all and technical welds too. That shower head perk that's fucking 25 feet up, that's a fancy ass perk. It's such a fancy perk that I might make a base for that 5 foot section just to clip into so I can smoke it, because it's such a sick bong. That top piece is a sick bong by itself. Like, the perk is crazy. It makes me want to like fucking make that into like just like a flower piece because it shreds so hard, which I may do, you know, this year. There's lots of fun stuff on the radar this year for different projects and work. My wife did tell me that I probably can't do anything big like that for a while. I got to make sure I make money and pay the bills and do my responsibilities. But I had a lot of fun. The risk was worth it to me. The mental breakdown, the immense cost and loss of time, totally worth it. Wouldn't have it any other way. And that's how I know that I'm about this shit. Like, I'm like, this is, money's cool and like you can make money doing things, but this is more than that. Because I could have promoted sales in of 10 other ways that would have been more productive and just as influential to getting people seeing it. But to me, I wanted to see a three-story piece of fucking glass, dude. It's so cool for me. Like I said, like when I post things like that, I hope there's enough people out there that have that same mindset as me. Like, this is fucking dumb and cool at the same time. It's everything. It's, I don't even know, man. It was so cool, though. And having the whole team there, everybody helping. I had hard hats and safety vests for everyone. I had all the stuff, so we were OSHA certified, except for a harness on me. But they didn't send the harness with the lift, and you know what? The harness didn't look good with my lab jacket, my lab coat. So, fuck it. So it's interesting too. I like to go into the pages that other people posted and just reading the comments, like hundreds of comments from people, and just reading like people being like, oh, these dudes are definitely getting fired. Like it looked so official that people assumed that we were people that had access to this construction equipment, and we got to the job site at 6:30, a little early, and set this up real quick before the job boss got there or something. And I'm like, no, this is literally, I have this weird fucking pipe company. I don't even know. This is such a strange thing that we're pursuing and we're in. Not strange in a way where it's like, it's weird, but strange in a way that it's real. Like, strange that when I'm at a parent-teacher conference or I'm dealing with stuff with the bank or doing normal adult responsibility stuff, that my foundation of being able to take care and support the people I love comes from my artwork, but also comes from this really, you would never think. On paper, this isn't real. That's crazy. Like, there's no company I know that would invest money into that, to like, that type of like advertisement, if you want to call it that. Not that that's what it was. I did it because I wanted to do it, but it's a dual sword. You know, it also is advertising. Like, you're getting people to see the video, know about the drops, all that stuff. It's part of it. But man, it was like, I don't know. It just makes me feel like there's days where I get like really like, you know, overwhelmed or in my head or think like, you know, I suck. We all feel like that sometimes. And when I reflect on these dumb things I've invested massive amounts of time and energy into, I go, no one else would do that. No company. I'm just dumb enough to do it, which is amazing. Could you imagine if I was smart enough to talk myself out of these things? If I went down the list of why I shouldn't do it and what would be more practical and would probably be more capital generating than my shenanigans, for sure. When I make videos like this, for example, when you look at influencers on the internet and they invest all this money to make videos or renting cars, doing all these things, they're getting views, they're getting paid for it. It's a business. I'll invest all that same level of money into something knowing that my shit won't get seen because I'm doing drugs. Whatever. I'm going to do it anyways. Like, I'm going to do it even though I know that Instagram doesn't want people to see it. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways. Like, I want to see it. And hopefully enough people want to see it like me. Sick. Like, I know that I have some of the rarest pieces of glass on this planet. I got a 13-footer solid piece. I got a 30-footer multi-piece. I got an RBR inside an RBR with five RBRs on the outside, a double RBR ash catcher and RBR mouth. I mean, dumbest things, stuff that no one asked for. But my point is I have it. No one else does. And that makes me feel good. On days that I'm down, I go, dude, you got a 30-foot bong. Chill out. Dude, people could travel across the cosmos to see this. They'd come to Earth and see some of the rarest things ever. Trees. Trees are so rare in the cosmos. Maybe they would see like multicellular intelligent life that's found, it's carbon based, and that's strange for alien life. 30-foot bong. That's cool. Aliens would probably dig that. They'd be like, no one's done this. When I was in the plane landing yesterday, I was watching the flight map and I saw that I was at 5,600 feet. And I looked down and I thought to myself, that'd be tough. That'd be a tough bong to build, to construct, to hold. That would be tough. It would take, I don't even know what it would take if it would be possible. A mile high bong, you know, maybe outbuild the biggest building, you know, different purpose. I don't think the smoke would make it to you. I think you'd be dealing with barometric pressures at that height. I think the smoke would hit a certain level and then just stop. I don't think you could create enough vacuum on a fucking mile long bong. But we don't know until we try. That's what it's all about. We don't know until we try, and we're going to try. Now, I don't know if I'll stand this one up. What I did think about is I could make a pipe essentially that went down the road and like wrapped through a gas station and stuff, make it out of little thin tubing, like the neck of this thing. The skinniest little bong, like a long fucking crazy straw that goes all around Colorado Springs, and have someone downtown lighting it for me. See what happens. If the city would at least, I'll fund it. But if the city would at least, don't mind me, if the city would at least back it, this is my old one that I smoke that's way heavier and fatter than the ones that we sell. So I like to knock it over a lot, quality test. They wouldn't fund it, but if they would at least accept it and encourage it. Go, you know what, Mr. Man, we don't really get it, but we like that someone is in our area that's creative and wants to try something different, maybe put Colorado Springs on the map for, you know, a different group of people that no one really ever I mean, the stoners, you know? But again, crazy straw bong rapping through the streets of Colorado Springs, that will take some sort of local government backing it, because I'm going to need streets shut down. I'm going to need police escorts for the long straightaways so no one bumps it and breaks it. You know, we might have to have crossing guards involved. I don't know. But these are the things I think about. And none of these things will pay the bills. But for me, I get to say I did it. When I'm an old man rocking in my chair, just ripping my fucking RBR, I'll go, you know what? I made that bong, that 30-foot bong. I fucking made that crazy straw that wrapped through the streets of Colorado Springs. They'll say, 1913, Nikola Tesla developed his secret technology, death ray in Colorado Springs. 2026, Evan Mann built the crazy straw bong through Colorado Springs. Maybe not the same level, but we might be, in the grand schemes of things, of inventions in this area, might be remembered. I don't know. These are the things I think about. And oftentimes my wife will look at me and she'll go, what are you thinking about? Why aren't you talking? And I don't tell her, because if I explained what I was thinking about, she would have more questions. And then be like, well, did you change the cat litter or anything yet? You've just been sitting there staring. I'm like, no, but I was thinking about this crazy straw bong that wrapped through the streets of Colorado Springs. I was thinking about the crossing guards and, you know, coordination with local government. Will code enforcement get involved with the crazy straw bong? I don't know. Again, none of this matters. Doesn't matter. This is whatever. This is how I think. I have fun with it. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm trying to continue to do, is have fun, because life is going to constantly hit you with things you have no control over of. But you do have a little bit of control of how much fun you have. And it is choices. The 30-foot bong could have been less fun if I got hung up on the costs and how angry it made people around me and, you know, where I should have been spending time. I jumped in the pool with this. Stoked it still works. I didn't mean for the erratic hand motions, but my first dab of the day, and I often find the first dab, it affects me on a cellular level. I don't even have a control of it. You're just like, whoa, it's in my body. You ever take a dab and you feel it like in your veins? Like lightning shooting down your fucking hand? And you're like, what is that? Yeah, that's pretty sick. Hash is cool. I smoked some hash in Florida. My dad went to a local dispensary, got some stuff. The BHO was great. But the rosin, I'm convinced that's what fucked up my throat. Like, here's the thing. If you're buying hash from a dispensary or a grower you're not familiar with, stay away from rosins. I would buy BHO, because here's why. The hydrocarbon extracts, like the BHO and stuff, that seems to be, at a baseline, it's going to be cleaner than the rosin if the flower's not grown right. You can grow some really shitty flower and run it through a closed loop and get some pretty fire fucking hash out of it. But if you take shitty weed and run it for rosin, you're just going to have shitty rosin. It's going to taste like every missed watering. It's going to taste like every late spray you did for fucking spider mites or PM. It's going to taste like every day that you overwatered. It's going to taste like the lights got too close to the plant and burned the terps. You're going to taste all of it. If you're an actual hash connoisseur and smoke a lot of hash, you can taste all this stuff. I could take the rosin I was smoking and give it to any person that doesn't really smoke much hash or anything. They'd be like, whoa, that's crazy, I'm so high. And I'm like, dude, like, I could barely inhale that because it just tasted gross. Like, I feel like, even when I'm like, if I'm like sick and have a cold or something, I don't like smoking because I can't enjoy it. Like, I'm like really, I feel like kind of a brat about that, where I really want to be able to enjoy my hash experience from the inhale to the exhale to the after effect. And I go, we did it. That was a wonderful experience. But when it's midzy and it was 65 a gram, and like this company too, I went to their Instagram, their shit looks fire. But my dad made a good point. My mom and dad live in the middle of nowhere in Florida, like not near anything. And the dispensaries they have out there, it's all old people out there. And like, they're probably not bringing the freshest or the best batches of hash because they're not even buying the hash. The old people buy the gummies and flour. They're not buying concentrates. And they're sure as hell not spending $65 on a gram of anything. you know, they'll buy an ounce of shake for that much, for $65. And they're like, I got a whole ounce. And it's like already pre-ground and everything. And that works great if that's like what you're looking for. I really like really good hash. And I like weed too. I smoke a lot of flower, and my wife prefers weed. She, anytime we smoke a joint, she goes, man, I love flower. I like flower so much more than hash. Just the high from it, and just the whole like smoking it, passing back and forth, and just hanging out with someone. It's like social. Like she enjoys it, which I do too. But if you, I've never smoked a joint and feel that fucking lightning in your veins, dude. No, that shit's cool as hell. And that might just be me. That might be a blood pressure issue that I'm experiencing. I should see a doctor. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, I'm thinking it's the lightning hash, dude. The lightning in the veins. I don't know. But either way, Florida was sick. It was really nice to see family. Got to go kayaking and see wildlife. That's usually what we do. We just, my parents live kind of near the Weekiwachee, which is like kind of a famous like kayaking thing where there's like mermaid shows and shit. And there's these bright blue springs. It's like neon blue water, super clear. Like you can see the whole, everything. And it was awesome. It felt good to like, get away, be far enough away from my torch where I couldn't like access it. So like I had to relax. And I've gotten so much better at chilling out. Like back in the day, I couldn't go on vacations and relax. I would just be uptight the whole time, just thinking, I gotta get back to where I gotta get this done. Something happened over the last year, and the only way I can describe it in the most healthy way possible, God, it sounds bad, but I was like, I give up. I'm like, not in a negative way. Like, I give up feeling like shit if I'm not working. I used to be so hard on myself if I wasn't constantly working, because if you're not working, you're losing opportunity. And if someday your family's struggling, you'll know, you can think back to that moment that you decided to do something besides work. You'll be able to go, Evan, this was the day that you decided to go have fun instead of work. And that's why your family's living in a box now. But that's not reality. You know, failing at life comes in many forms. And it's not because you decided one day to spend time with your family instead of work yourself to death. But like I said earlier in the podcast, I've always been like, oh, I'm just here to help. Like, I found that I got a lot, because when I was a teenager, like most teenagers, they're confused, they get depressed and whatever. I did that whole thing. And the only way I got out of it was deciding one day that I exist for everyone else. Like, I'm here to help. That's my purpose on this planet. That's it. If I'm not helping, I'll remove myself from that where I am. If I am helping, I will stay there. Like I'm here to help. I have no interest in, like, I'm so easygoing and going with the flow to the point where it's annoying. To the point where it's aggravating. I'll aggravate my wife and family by just how, whatever you guys want to do, that's fine. You guys want to light me on fire? Sure. Like, don't care. And that's not like a sad thing. It was when I was a teenager. As an adult, it's a superpower. As an adult, it gives me the ability to not get hung up and feel like, oh, what me and what's happening to me and all that stuff. And the hash helps so much with that, because it helps me reflect on it. When I smoke hash, it's almost like I get to put a little pause on all these reactive emotions I have inside me. All these feelings like, I want to tell this person I'm mad, or I want to say this. Smoke a little hash and I pause and go, you know what? What's really important right now, right in front of me? Tend to the garden that's right in front of you. What's right in front of me that matters that I can deal with? Not all these emotions I want to unleash on people and be reactive. Like, what can I do to help? I often fear, a lot of you, if you grow up with like superhero movies, now they're doing it a lot of days. They're like showing like the villains, how they become a villain. And you realize that like, it's so crazy. Like, I think sometimes the most vicious and evil people were once the most loving and passionate people. But they just went, nah, dude, I'm done with this. Time to hit the other side of this. I'm gonna be evil. Now I don't want that. I just want to smoke hash and be helpful. But I can definitely see the slippery slope that people fall down when they try to do a good job, try to be there for people, and they're constantly eating shit. And they go, you know what? Fuck the world. Let's burn it down. I get it, brother. I get it. Smoke some hash and chill out. I get it. Fuck, man. Everybody gets angry. That's why it's like, how many times would the world been blown up if everyone had a button that ended the world? You know, how many days have people felt like, man, if I had a button I could just hit? But that's like that selfish, like victim mentality. You gotta stay away from it. That's that slippery slope, dude. You know? And it doesn't work for everyone. Some people do therapy. Some people do religion. Some people try to use psychedelics and then become an addict and their life falls apart. And then some people smoke hash and they figure it out, dude. And honestly, some people get religion and figure out. Some people start eating healthy, working out, and they figure it out. Whatever the thing is you do to figure it out, you got to figure it out. But my thing is, I'm just fucking here to help, dude. I'm here to obviously make fucking sick little water tornadoes and consume a lot of hash. But the main goal is just to help. Even people that are shitty to me. I try so hard not to, like, react to people with their... Like, I had a thing today, and I haven't reacted. I'm so proud of myself. Well, that Otoro from Green Dot. Wasabi sour diesel turp. Fucking crazy. But yeah, 30-foot bong. Had a mental breakdown after. That was crazy. That was fucking nuts. Wow. Second dab of the day. Feeling wicked stoned. I think I'm getting... Damn, I'm definitely getting more stoned here in Colorado. I smoked so much hash in Florida. Like, I was smoking over 2 grams a day. Barely getting stoned. I mean, that's that sea level shit. I mean, I was getting stoned. I would just have to take, like 3 Puffco hits and do at least 5 to 6 pulls each time before I hand it over to someone else. Make sure I get it in there deep. But, man... Yeah, the hash, the BHO is good in Florida, but man, that rosin I got, I know there's good rosin in Florida. I know that someone might even watching this is like, dude, you should hit me up. I have the rosin. Like, maybe I will next time, but usually I just bring all my shit with me. I just ran out. I only brought fucking 17 grams with me, and I smoked it in like 7 days or 8 days. Through a Puffco, that's impressive. I don't care who you are. That's impressive. We put in work. But again, it was me, my wife, and my dad. We were all smoking the hash together. Because everyone loves hash. That was one. It was really nice to see my dad and just smoke hash with him. I know he's going to watch this, so he's going to see it. But it was nice. You know, one thing I found that if you move away from where you're from, if you become really busy with relationships, children, a business, whatever the thing is, you can almost forget about where you come from or why you're even there. You're now living in some sort of pattern that you're a piece of. In a new city, within a family, or with a job, or whatever. And then when you go either back home or you go visit family, and you listen to stories, and you talk about things, and you remember who you are, or who you were before you started this journey you're currently on. It's crazy that I've made it this far. And if I fail now, it's totally fine. Not that we are, we're doing great. That sale. Holy shit, you guys went crazy on that clear pre-sale. It's like... fucking like 100 something pieces sold. It was insane. We're crushing through them. We're already deep into it, so we're doing great. That shit's gonna should be out in time. We might be one extra week wait on the last few sales, but I think Cass is already reaching out to those people. But either way, yeah, it's weird, like visiting family and then remembering. Sometimes it's like a bad thing. I remember, fuck, this is why I left here. Like, these people are awful. But like, for me, it's like, it's not like that. I love my parents, and like, they're awesome in their own ways. They're special people. But just remembering like growing up in a place or all the memories of the stories that made me who I am now or that even got me to the point of becoming a glassblower. It's so weird. And now I'm 35, dude. It's so weird. Like, it's so weird how quick things go and how much they change. For better or for worse, it's just like in another 5 years, I'm literally going, not that 40 is old, but that's like... That's not like a young person in the industry that know, like, that's a grown up. That's a person that's like, not every 40-year-old's grown up. Some 40-year-olds are still, you know, living that teenage life. You never know. But my point is that like, when I was younger, you think of a 30-year-old, think of 35, think of a 40-year-old, and you're like, damn, that's old as hell. When you're fucking 20, you think about a 40-year-old, you're like, Jesus, dude, balding. What's that? Man, it's so weird. Like, I'm making 30-foot bongs. At 35 and doing this is like on paper, this is crazy. On paper, this shouldn't have worked, but it is. And that's what I think is like so special about all this is it's like, this is like it's not only like an artist or a person grinding, trying to build a business, this and that. And it's also like this crowdsourced project where like all these people saw something and they said, I can get behind that. And they supported it. Like, y'all are here to help me. That's crazy. Like, I say I'm here to help, but then there's all these strangers out there that bought my artwork that got me to where I am right now. Like, everything I'm looking at, the fucking handles in the kitchen on the cabinets had to be bought. We put all these cabinets in. We're in the break room right now. We filmed the podcast in here. Every single thing in here was bought with someone buying a fucking pipe from me. The toilet, paper towel roll. It's crazy to think that, like, yeah, it was never just me. There was always so many people in different levels of involvement, whether it be a supporter or someone that just believed in what I was doing, or even a hater, honestly. Yeah. Growing up is wild. I'm gonna rip my pivot again. Yeah, that 30 footer definitely made me think really different. I definitely, after the 30 footer, I was like, I think I told my wife that I'm like, oh, I don't think I can smoke weed anymore. Dude. I'm so mad that I said that. Like, I'll never forgive myself for that. My dad is 71 years old or 70. I don't even know. He's old as hell. He still smokes every day. He ain't no quitter. What? Like, I can't disappoint my family. Like, you know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding, though. But whenever you take a really big dab and you get way too stoned, you definitely have that moment where you're like, I'm done, dude. I don't think I can dab anymore. Like, oh, I'll smoke a joint and like have a beer, but I gotta chill out, dude. This is like too much. A couple hours goes by, you have a fresh coffee, and you're like, that hash does taste pretty good with this coffee. Let me try a little bit, you know? And that's the thing, it's flavor. If I could have like, I'm gonna get stoned regardless, but if I could have a way to smoke this fire hash without getting too stoned, if anything's addictive, it's the flavor. Taste of gasoline and burnt rubber. And someone here is Pat talking to himself out there. My God, our boy Pat is a social boy. If no one's here, he's gonna call someone and just talk to him. That's like, if I'm not out there, he's gonna find someone to talk to. Not like that, not like Pat needs people to talk to. He's a social dude. I hear him chatting out there and I'm like, who the fuck is he? Oh, I leaned it sideways. That's the thing with these little rigs. Because it's such a crazy design, if you lean it sideways a little bit, you can create that straw effect. There's a famous name for it. Someone invented a wine glass that drained when you filled it up. I forget who did that, but there was a name for it, and that's what this is. Don't mind me, just adding a little bit more water in here. Damn, such a ripper. All right. Rip my pivot again. But yeah, exciting year. Lots of big projects, lots of things that we're going to try and bring to the website, add to it as far as like, you know, new products, but also like returning products that are a little bit more customizable for people that are looking for something more specific. I can't believe I jumped in a pool with this thing and it still works, dude. That's crazy. I had the pivot in my pocket. Well, I wasn't even planning on swimming, but you know, when your daughter's like, get in, you just gotta get in. Took my fucking wallet and took my phone out, but the pivot's never usually on me. It's not part of my EDC, you know, my everyday carry stuff, you know? So, didn't think to take it out. So, she took a little swim, but she's all right. It's like a really good design with how they cover the charging port with this, because all this is pretty sealed and it was all wet, like hashy for me smoking it. So it was all like sealed. So like, I don't think water got in it. I just took a swim. Whoa. Holy fuck. Those things are so fun. Especially when they're finished and they shred. Wow. Yeah. That 30 footer though, man, I'll tell you what, going up on that lift and like even going up with my dude Jack that was on last episode, fuck dude, like I think me and him talked about it for a second. Did we talk about the 30 footer? Oh yeah, okay. So we've already talked about the 30 footer. Fuck, dude. Sorry to be redundant, guys. But that's how long it's been since I've been on here, because I went out of town to see family, and then like life things happen and we just weren't able to get together. But either way, yeah, that shit was high up. Next lift we have to rent, we have to get a telescoping one if we do the 40 foot plus, because the scissor lifts don't, they're not safe outside at those heights. You have to have like a telescoping lift because it's like more stable, wider base, and it like goes out like a fucking dinosaur. So we've maxed out the scissor lift outdoor activities. Now it's telescopic, like they go up to 79 feet, the starting ones. So we essentially could do like almost like an 80 footer. It'd be so scary though to be like 79 feet up on a boom like fucking lift like that. And to rip a bomb. Man, so many people were driving by while we were doing it too, and no one even thought anything of it. Like people were definitely like stopping, took some pictures, people that are driving around the back of the building and stuff, and it's so different than me outside ripping a little rig and coughing my brains out, as opposed to me in a lab coat with a hard hat on a lift hitting something. Like people just for some reason seem to like, they're like, oh, that's legit. I mean, they have a permit. They've got it. You don't just do things like this. This has got to be something, right? But it's not. It's just us doing things like that. You know? Damn, that pivot made my sinuses go crazy, dude. That's the thing. That's so direct. Even when it's like just dry without a water piece on it, we just have the factory mouthpiece on there. Those things, it's just like, I burnt the tip of my tongue on it from ripping too big of a dab, too. That was user error. You know what I mean? Because the mouthpiece is so close to it all, and if you're ripping a big dab on white, you know, hot oil, it's all part of it. Yeah, and today I'm basically finishing up a couple of repairs and custom stuff that I had to get done before I left that I didn't, which I feel terrible about, but you know, I'm getting it done today, and then getting back into that clear pre-sale. The Puffco shit was crazy how much people ordered. I think it's because Puffco like promoted that on one of their recent posts, so, which was really nice of them. But I think it made a big difference with at least like buyer awareness, if that makes sense. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to buy stuff, but it's like having them be aware of you. Like there's so many pages I find that are like big weed influencers on Instagram, and I look at their followers, they're not following any glassblowers. They're following like famous people and like dispensaries or weed pages with memes and stuff. I'm like, why are none of these huge weed influencers like following like the pipe makers? Like we're a huge like fundamental foundational part of the scene and movement. Like, but it seems like there's this shift that's happened where the weed industry is continuing to go and grow, but the pipe makers, I think, are having a hard time adapting and following with it, because the landscape has changed a little bit, which it always has, but like maybe in a way now where people just don't have it in them to relearn the new game, which we all hit that point eventually where you're like, fuck it, dude. I don't know what skibbity toilet means, bro. I don't know what shit means, bro. Someone told me I was cooked the other day and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely cooked. And they said, what? And I just ignored them because I didn't know what to say after that, because I didn't know what it meant. I assumed it meant like, oh, you're fucked, dude. You're cooked. Like, you're done. Like, but I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely cooked, dude. I'm fully cooked, dude. I'm overcooked. I'm fucking done, dude. Like, but no, it must mean something else, because they hit me with a what? I'm like, hopefully that doesn't mean something awful. Like, I don't even want to speculate, but hopefully that doesn't mean something awful. That's why at a certain point, I think old people either get really loud and obnoxious or they get quiet as hell, because they know, they're like, I don't know how to talk to anyone anymore because I don't know the new words. Fun part of aging: music starts sounding like shit, don't know words. Luckily I did that when I was younger. Out the gate, learning disabilities weren't good with words, music sounded like shit to me always, at least popular music. unless it was 1996 Spice Girls or Backstreet Boys, I was like, you know what? And Britney Spears, I was like, 96, that was art, dude. Those girls and those boys, man, you know. But that's when music was good, dude. When the Backstreet Boys, dude, I had the Nick Lachey haircut for fucking my whole fucking elementary school. It was so sick, dude. I was like, got that little Nick Lachey fucking, whatever it was back in the day. I think that's what his name was. Wait, maybe it wasn't. Maybe he was like some other band. Either it doesn't fucking matter. What am I even talking about, dude? The pivot got me. I'm confused, and that's fine. That's fine. That, you know what I do when I'm confused? I warm up my Puffco, clean it. Oh, it's kind of clean. Oh my god, though, dude. Some FAFO in here. Take another dab. Still trying to figure out when we're gonna do the Patreon event this year. We're not doing it in the summer again because it was too hot last year, and also like when my daughter's out of school in the summer because it's summer break, and I can't be as busy like I was last year and not hanging out with her. So we want to do the fall when she's back in school. Hey, it won't be as hot. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out so everyone has stopped. Oh, God. Man, tired smoking hash right now because I don't know what happened. I think I smoked some hash that fucked my throat up right before I left Florida. Or like I said, I slept with my mouth open too much last night. It's really dry here. But my fucking vocal cords and like my fucking throat is sore. It's hard to take dabs. Holy shit. Yeah. But the goal is this year to do better than last year. Have a successful Patreon event and complete some of these projects. Like there's projects I want to do that I literally have to make enough capital so that I can take time off to work on the project. It's the same thing with the 30 footer, but I have stuff that's actual art, not just a giant piece of glass, which is art too, but it's different. There's different types of art, you know. That was more performative. That was a performance piece. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm talking about a physical, maybe a small rig you hold that has a very unique color technique that you haven't seen done before, which all my shit's pretty much set up in the cold working now. So I can start pursuing once I do all the work I'm supposed to do and can find time. Now that I have my cold working room done, the equipment there, I can start pursuing some of these newer projects and see if people are into it. See if they're into this new tech or new ideas that I want to pursue. And if they're not, that's totally fine too, but I want to try it. You know what I mean? I have some ideas for color technique and types of milli and building color tubing that I can apply to the RBR format or any bare mount piece and give it a highly unique look that highlights function and aesthetic. But like anything, it's all words until you do it. Today was fun, everybody. It was a good catch up. We smoked some Puffco rigs. I talked a lot. My voice, hopefully, wasn't too annoying because of how raspy it sounds, but we did it. Thanks for listening. This was fun. Our next drop, I don't know when it is. You're going to have to look at our website because currently I'm working on our last presale, so I try not to think about the next drop until I'm done with the work that I've been paid for. So, but check the website. I'm sure the wife, the boss lady, has stuff on her calendar already. She even has calendar drops at stores that we have coming up and stuff. And that's the best way to see what we're doing is to go to bmsglass.com, sign up for our newsletter. You'll get notifications about upcoming drops, events, and everything going on with Bear Mountain Studios. Episode 168. Hope you all have a wonderful day, and thanks for hanging out. Later, everybody.